This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Peseda. Good evening. Welcome to tonight's Shia. So the Halacha Shia is entitled Superstitions. And of course it's connected to the Parsha because, as the first box tells us, that Eliezer is dispatched to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he does a test. He goes to the well, and he davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says that whichever young lady comes to the well, and I ask her to feed me, to give me to drink, and she responds and says, not only will I give you, but I'll give, as Rashi explains later in the parasha, I'll give your entourage, I'll give your camels. She's the one, she is the one chosen to be the wife of Yitzchak. Now this is problematic behavior, because as the Gemara says in Chulin, that this seems to be nichush. Nichush is superstitions, and superstitions is where you seemingly put signs, arbitrary signs, on, and then decides based on that whether you're going to undertake a course of action. And we'll see more of that in a second. But the chinuch in mitzvah Reish Mem Tes, in mitzvah 249, Shlomo Nachish, he gives details of this prohibition, of this lav. And the chinuch writes, Kagain ha'oimer nofla piti mipi. If a person says that a bit of bread has fallen out of my mouth, nofla makli miyodi, or my stick, my staff has fallen out of my hand, Ovar hanochosh mi mini vishul mismoili, a nochosh, a snake is on my right and a fox is on my left, v'yimona mipnei kein me'asos shemaisa, and because of that he holds back from doing an action, v'chein kagoyin mashayomur hamoinei am hasichlim, like many foolish people say, oirev tzayek, there's a crow who's crowing, oivel rosha over you, flying over your head, oikivin sharisi dova ploini b'tchilas hayoyim loy aviach hayoyim, I saw a certain bad thing happen at the beginning of the day, I'm not going to make any money today, and you don't go to the marketplace as a result, oishum mikra ra yavo, some bad thing will happen. So all of this is caused by the prohibition of nichush, superstitions, and it's a lav in the Torah. Now, what is the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in there? Why is it prohibited? So again, the chinuch, like I mentioned, is one of the Moneh HaMitzvahs. He lists what the 613 mitzvahs are, and he gives details of each one, and he goes and gives explanations of the reasons. And he always starts off, Mishar Sheh HaMitzvah, which means of the reasons. He's not saying Shorish HaMitzvah, the reason is X, Y, or Z, because it's conjecture. Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows why there are all the mitzvahs. We give Tamei HaMitzvahs, the reasons, we conjecture. Perhaps this is the reason. Anyway, the Chinuch says, if you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com and I'll send you the handout. Mishar Sheh HaMitzvah Zu, of the reasons, and he gives two reasons. Lefi She'inyonim Elehem Divrei Shiga'in. It's all crazy. It's nonsense. The sichlus gemurah is total foolishness. The la'am kodesh amiti, and for a holy, genuine people, asher bocha hakel lo yeyos lohem sheyishu b'divrei sheker. It's not appropriate for us to be involved in such nonsense that we, decide to go on a business trip or not go on a business trip just because a black cat crossed our path. That's crazy. V'oy, then a second reason, shehem sibel hadiach ha'odim be'emunas Hashem. Ultimately, it's a problem that it might divert a person and trouble his emunah because he might, because the love of mitochem, the kfir gemuri, might come to total kfir, total denial. Sheyachshav kol tevos v'ras v'chla sheyikra dova mikri. He thinks it's all random. Whether I'm going to succeed in this particular business deal or any endeavor is because of some arbitrary random event, because a black cat crossed the path or whatever it may be. That's foolishness, and not only is it foolishness, it might cause a person to become a kofer, to believe in randomness and deny the hashkoch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's the Hakdoma. Now, there is an important Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Hei on the base. Let's do the Gemara together, paragraph 4. Rav have a ka'ozel lebei Rav Chanan Chasne. Rav, one of the great Amoraim, have a ka'ozel lebei Rav Chanan Chasne. He was going to visit his son-in-law, whose name was Rabbi Chanan. Now to get there, he had to take a ferry. So imagine, he lived in Bournemouth, and he wanted to go to the Isle of Wight. So the only way to get there is to take a ferry. So he went to the ferry port, and as he got there, the ferry just arrived. You go to the train, you get on the train, and suddenly you get on the platform, all of a sudden the Edgware train comes. So he said, Omar, Mavra ka'osi la'ape yoimetav legav. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be, it's good news. There's going to be a yontif going on in my daughter and son-in-law's house. Ozel kama baba. He went to the house. Oidik bebizad adashach and chazi chiyus adatalia. He arrived at his daughter and son-in-law's house, and he looked through the door. There must have been sort of slats or something. He looked through, and he saw a big piece of meat hanging from the ceiling. That's the sign that they're making a festive meal. In those days, they would go to the sheikhs and they would check the animal, and a big piece of meat is getting ready to be cooked. So there's some sort of festivity going on. Tarif Ababa, he knocked on the door. Nafak asu kula amal ape. And everyone came to greet the great Rav, father, the grandfather, the great leader of the Jewish people. Asa tabachinami, and the butcher, the chef, came as well. Alim Rav eine mine, and Rav didn't take his eye off the ball. In other words, he didn't take his eye off the meat, because he was choshesh for the halacha of bosar shenis alim in ayin, which is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to, when you've got meat, you can't leave it unsupervised, unattended, unwatched. It's a halacha which is not so well known. Unless there's a certain simon on the meat, it's cut in a triangle, it's covered in a certain way, or it's wrapped in a certain way. For example, when Deliveroo became quite popular, this question was raised. You know, you're getting your shawarma or whatever it is, your takeout, it's being delivered, it's leaving the hotel, the restaurant, and it's being delivered by a non-Jewish Deliveroo person, where it's bosher shenis alim in ayin. So again, if it's wrapped twice, and there's then that would be okay. We get deliveries in school of the hot kosher food. We used to, at least before the lunches were still delivered, and it would have to be wrapped in a certain way. And I got questions regularly. The wrapping came undone. What to do? So that's halach of bosher shenis alim in ayin. So Rav kept his eye on the ball. He kept his eye on the meat. Everyone came out, and everyone else had forgotten about this. So Omer Lahu, so Rav was perturbed. He says, Ichu hashto, had I not come, Svisulu Asura l'bnei bras, you would have fed my daughter's children, my grandchildren, you would have fed them Issa, something which is not allowed. Lo yachul Rav me'ho bisra, and Rav did not eat from that meat, the Gemara says. So, ask the Gemara my timer, why didn't he eat from the meat? What's the problem? Imishum ilumei, if it's because it was unsupervised, it was unwashed, Yalim, you just told me, the Gemara just said, that he didn't take his eye off the meat. So it wasn't unwatched. Ela de Nachash. You know what the problem is, says the Gemara? This meat is a problem of Nichush, of its superstitious meat. What does that mean? That he said that, oh, it's a good sign. The ferry has just arrived in the port the moment I get there. It must be there's a yontif going on. And therefore, he said there's good things are going to happen because the ferry came. That's caught by Nichush. Says the Gemara, no, it's not Nichush. Because Vahom Rav, Kol Nochosh She'ina Kalyeze Eved Avraham, Uchiyonis Ben Shol, Eina Nochosh. Any Nichush, any superstition, practice, which is not like Eliezer Eved Avraham, or like Yonis Ben Shol, which I'll explain to you in a second what that is, then that's not Nichush. And this is therefore a full short of Nichush. It's not considered superstitious. So they're back to the question, so why didn't he eat the meat? Ella says the Gemara Sudas HaRishus Hava, it was a voluntary Sudas HaRishus, it wasn't a Sudas Mitzvah, it was just regular Sapa. And Rav had a particular Chumrah for himself, for Rav Lo Mishani Misudas HaRishus. He didn't eat from a Suda, which wasn't a Sudas Mitzvah, he wouldn't eat a Sudas HaRishus. Okay, that's the end of the Gemara. Now, the Rambam takes this Gemara at face value and says, the obvious implication, that what Eliezer did in this week's parasha by saying that whoever comes to the well and I'll give her to drink and she responds and I'll ask her for a drink and she responds, not only will I give you, but I'll give your entourage and your camels, she's the one, that is Nichush. What was the case of Yonis Ben Shol? Yonis Ben Shol was the son of Shol HaMelech, was the best friend of David HaMelech. He was with an armor bearer and he saw at the time the enemy of Klal Yisrael with the Pelishtim. There was a battalion of Pelishtim staying in a certain fort, and Yonason wanted to attack them. So he said to his armor bearer, look, walk forward towards them. If they come out to you and they say, who goes there? And they come out to you, then we won't attack them. But if they say, come here, we want to see who you are, then we'll attack them. And based on that, he attacked. So that's, again, this is the implication of the Gemara is, that's Nichush. Now the Rambam says that. The Rambam says, Ein menachashim, look at the paragraph 5, Ein menachashim ka'akum, you shouldn't do this nichush, this superstitious activity, shenem alois ha'nachashu, keitzatu ha'nachosh, what is it? You're going, Einu she'omrim, hoyo v'nofla piti mipi, like the chinuch says above, a bit of bread falls out of my mouth, that's a bad sign, v'chin ha'mesim, simonim la'atzma im yera le'kach v'kach, if you make signs for yourself, if such and such a thing happens, then I'm going to do something. And if it doesn't happen to me, I won't do it. Yeah, if the train comes in the next 5 minutes, then I'll get on it and I'll go. And if the train doesn't come, then I'm going home. That's nichush. Here comes the key words. Ke'eliezer eved Avraham, like Eliezer eved Avraham, v'chein ke'yotzeh b'edvar meilul, and all similar events. So the Rambam says that Eliezer eved Avraham transgressed the mitzvah of nichush, and he interprets the Gemara k'pshutay. Says the Ravid, straight away on this Rambam, what are you talking about? Omar Avraham, Aleph Aleph in the Ravid is always Omar Avraham. He doesn't hold back his language. Zeh shibush gadol. This is a major mistake. The Rambam has erred, says the Ravid. Shari dova zeh muta umuta. It's 100% allowed. V'ula hiteyu haloshen sheroa kol nocha she'ena keliezer v'yinusen ena nocha. So maybe he misunderstood the Gemara. He took it at face value. That's not what the Gemara means. For who saw Vashlin Isad Nehem of Elohi? He thought it was to do with the Issa of Nachash, but that's not true. And Ahachi Ka'ama, a Nerayu Lismaich, it's not appropriate to rely on this sort of behavior. That's what we do. We don't do that. How could the Rambam think that Eliezer of Avram and Yonis Ben Shaul could do this Aveira? Listen to this. V'ihave inu hava. If Yonason and Eliezer would be there with the Rambam, they would lash him with fiery lashes. The Ravid doesn't hold back his punches. That's the Rambam. Tosfos in the Gemara there in Chulin has the same question. How could it be that Eliezer does nichush? That's the simple understanding of the Gemara. It says Tosfos in paragraph 6 there, V'im toimar Eliezer heich nochosh lo, yeah, how could he do it? So Tosfos comes up with a different explanation. V'yesh lema, that he holds, shelo nosen la smidim ha-shegid lo basmiyat. Tosfos actually is of the opinion that Eliezer didn't give the presents, the jewelry to her, until she says, who are you, which family are you from? Ah, this is the one. And then he was more confident. But he didn't really base it on this thing, and he would have done it anyway. Had it, so long as he told him, that's not the implication of the pasuk. Exactly, so Tosfos is very good. So it says, Tosfos, you are Tosfos Kasha, great. Even though it says he gave her the jewelry, which suggests that he first gave the jewelry and then he asked, says Tosfos, he has to come on to that. That's his pshat. Right, etc. And the truth is, because later when he recounts the story, it was in that way around. Okay, say this. And Rashi has to come up with a different pshat, and because everyone has to deal with that problem. What about Yonason ben Shaul? Says Tosfos, "V'im toimah heich nichush." How could Yonason, the great Yonason, do nichush? V'yesh loyma de lezares es narei oma. He did it just to encourage his armor bearer. And to motivate him. But either way, he would have attacked. Okay, Tosfos deals with the problem. Again, the problem is, how could it be Eliezer and Yonason are over an Issin the Torah of Nichush, of superstitious actions? Now, there isn't time, but the Radak and the Ran both give a different pshat. The Radak says a very interesting answer. Eilu hadvarim v'chuyetzi bohen shenogu bohen balei hadeis harois v'kovim choku min agaleihem v'chashuvim kihem hametivim v'ameirim zehu she'osru teira. Avol, look at the underlined bit. If a person wants to do an act, no problem. Says the Radak, if I want to, do a simon, that if such and such happens, I will take this course of action, that's not a problem. The Radak is saying it depends whether it's forward-looking or whether it's past. I come out of my house, I see a black cat crossing my path and say, forget it, I'm turning around, I'm going home, having a coffee. So that's nichush. But if I say, should I go on the trip today? And you toss a coin, or you spin a whatever, or if the train comes in the next 5 minutes, if it's forward looking, any simon, that's no problem. It's past, present. That's the Radak's take on it. The Ran gives a different explanation. The Ran says a very beautiful explanation. He says nichush is when it's based on nothing. It's illogical, it's arbitrary. That's what nichush is. But if there's a svara to it, it's not nichush. And that explains Eliezer. Eliezer wasn't nichush because who was he looking for? He was looking for a young lady who's a balas chesed. And therefore, he wanted to find someone who's going to demonstrate the chesed. So what does he do? He says, I'll ask for a drink. If she turns around and says, not just you, but your entourage, your camels, etc. So that's a tremendous display of balas chesed. Amazing. So therefore, that's not nechush because that's not arbitrary. So too with Yonason. How does he explain that? He said it's all to do with morale. If I go towards them and they're feeling confident and strong, so they come out towards me because they feel strong enough to come out to me, then I'm not touching them. I'm not going to fight. But if they're nervous and they say, come here, and they're hiding behind their castle wall, looking, peering through and say, who goes there? You know, that shows they're timid, the morale is low, so then we'll attack them. So that is not nichush because it's logical. That's how the Radak and the Ran explain it. What's the halacha? The Maisa today? Can we do these practices? Can we do these simonim or toss a coin and decide a course of action? Says the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeh Simon Kufayin Tes in paragraph 9, Yesh Oimrim the Odom Mutal Aser Simon Bedava Shelv Aser. A person is allowed to do a simon on something which is going to happen in the future. Kamoisha Aser Liezer Davraham Yonason. You're allowed to do it. Who's he quoting? Tur V'Harav David Kimchi. That's the Radak. Continues the Ramah the Yesha Yisrin. Who's he quoting? The Rambam. So this is Machlokas finds its way into the Shulchan Aruch today. What's the Ramah's personal preference? You see the posse how he concludes. Someone who goes in a straightforward path and doesn't rely on all these things, that's that and displays proper bitachon, chesed, he'll be surrounded by chesed. Okay. Now, two ha'oras. Ha'ora number one, the Goral Hagra. Yeah, this is a famous area that we can give a whole shiur on. This is a big topic. But there is a concept of the Goral Hagra. When people find themselves in a very difficult situation, they're at a junction, they've got the decision to make, they don't know which way to turn. So there is a practice which predates the Gaon, but it's popular. It's known as the Gaon's Goral, the Goral, the lottery of the Gaon. You take a certain type of chumash. I don't think it works with the article chumash. It works with a certain type of chumash. And you open it a certain way, and seven pages here, seven pages there, and you have seven psukim, and you get to a pasuk, and that's meant to give you some sort of etzah as to which way to turn. Now, they tell a story. It's apparently the story is just not true. But I'm telling you the story, not that I've never verified it, I've never looked into it, but I understand it's not true. But it certainly brings it, elaborate, explains what the Gaon's Goral is. What was the story? The Rabbi Aaron Kotler is leaving Europe, and he's not sure whether to go to America or to Eretz Yisrael. Apparently, does a Gaon's Goral. The posuk comes out. He opens up at Vayomer Hashem el Aaron. And remember, at the time, the Godel in America was Moshe Feinstein, which America was then a midbar, was a wilderness. The posuk says Vayomer Hashem el Aaron lech likras Moshe hamidbar. Okay, now that explains what a Gaon's Goral is. Did the story happen? I don't know, but apparently it didn't happen. I thought it was did, but who knows? But I'll tell you a story that did happen, because this the fellow who involved in the story told me the story himself. He was dating, this is going back 20 plus years, he was dating and he wasn't sure, you know, is she the one, is she not the one? So he goes to his Rav in Stamford Hill, and this Rav in Stamford Hill did the Gaon's Goral, he knows how to do it. I've met someone who, I knew someone quite well, who did the Gaon's Goral quite regularly. He showed me the chumash he used, and at the back he had, every time he did it, every time he wrote down the pasuk that it fell on. And he showed me, I've seen it. It's a certain type of chumash. Anyway, this fellow went to Stamford Hill, and he wasn't sure. So he goes, okay, we'll do the Gaon's Goral. You've got to be a man of stature to do it. You've got to fast. There's a whole procedure. Says the pasuk, he opened up the pasuk, you know, did the whole thing. Hinei beirach lakach tu beirach v'lashiven. It's pasuk in Parshas Balak. The guy opened the pasuk, didn't quite know what it meant. The fellow, my friend, who was the chosen, his face went white. So the guy said, what's the chance? He says, Hine Beirach Lakachti, here's my, you know, my potential colour's father's name is Beirach. Yeah, I've taken you for Beirach. Yeah, you go ahead with it. Right? And sadly, he died fairly young, Beirach, and he was always, my friend always said, I don't know why it says Beirach in the Pasuk twice. The fellow died young, he had a child, and he called the child after his father-in-law, and he called the child Beirach. Yeah. So Hine Berech Lakachti. Now, what about that? Is that Nichush? Is that a problem? You're deciding a course of action based on this? So again, the Lev Aryeh in Chulin says that the Gaon's, that Eliezer was consulting with Hashem. He's being misyayetz with Hashem. So according to the Radak, the Gaon's Goyrel is no problem, because you're deciding a course of action based on a future event, so there's no problem. But according to the Rambam, even then it's okay, because the Gaon's Goyrel, you're being misyat with Hashem, you're consulting the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a problem of arbitrary type of action, deciding a course of action. You're being misyat with Hashem. That's how they explain it. Now, one final thing. You go away for, it sounds, today's weather, it seems like a distant memory, but if you go on, summer holidays, right? Picture the scene, you go to Brighton, and you go along the pier, and on the pier, you come to the lady has a big sign up, Mystic Meg. Yeah, she can read your palm, she can tell your future, and for £5, she'll tell you everything that's going to happen to you for the next 50 years. Are you allowed to or not? So amazingly, the Be'er Heitzav there in Yeridah, in Kufayin Tes, he quotes a sefer called the Nachlas Shiva. The Nachlas Shiva says the following, look at this, the last box on the page. Yoyre lahatir lahamoin am, hashoylem v'dorshim bizman hazeh lemachshefim. That nowadays, people go to witches, okay, or mystic megs, or whatever they're called. The Torah only asked kishuf of yesteryear, kadmonius of the olden day, the old day kishuf. But what goes on today is not kishuf. That's nonsense. It's all hevel, and therefore it's not nichush. And therefore, I'm not suggesting it's the most productive use of your money or time. But is there an is involved? According to the Nachlas Shiva quoted by the Be'er Heitzav, it would actually be allowed to go to these mystics and to ask them and to be involved, which is somewhat surprising. Anyway, so just to summarize, it's taken a bit longer than we thought, but just to summarize, the connection to this week's Parsha Superstitions is that Eliezer engages in a practice which is a bit difficult to understand, because it could border on nichush, and what is nichush? A person, something happens to a person, a random act, you come out, the black cat crosses the path, a bit of bread falls out of your mouth, or whatever it is, and as a result of that, you hold back from doing a certain act. That could be nichush. What is the reason for it? Either because it's just total nonsense and foolishness, or it's and therefore inappropriate for an kodesh like Klal Yisrael to be involved in that, or it could, worse, it could bring a person to kfira, the thing that it's all random, whether Kadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha. The story of Rav mentions this famous case of Kol Nocha She'enu Eliezer is not considered nichush, which suggests that what Eliezer did is nichush, and that indeed is how the Rambam learns. But the Rivet and Tosfos, they explain what Eliezer did, and they argue, and they said it was not nichush. And the Radak says that acting out in the future is not nichush; on the past, it would be. Ran says it depends if it's arbitrary or logical. That's the chiluk he makes. Now, halacha, both opinions are brought, as I mentioned to you, and the Gaon's Goyrel, again, according to both, would seem to be absolutely in order. It doesn't fall foul of nichush, and visiting your local psychic or whatever, that, again, it seems to be, according to this Be'er Heitzav, quoting the Nachlas Shiva, that would be acceptable and allowed. Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.